Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, September 10th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Slingbox. Watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home with Slingbox. Check out Slingbox at a Best Buy near you or visit slingbox.com/twit. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
Behind the boards, our excellent producer, Eric Lanigan.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Doing well. Good to see you. And good to see the Terpster.
Yay, Terpster's back.
Yay. I'm just confused. How did I get back on here? Yeah. Someone's going to get fired.
It's like we emailed each other and then Skyped and tested out a connection and then put you on the show just by accident.
Right.
Exactly.
How did he get here? So weird.
Mark Turpin.
I got my name and everything. Crazy.
Yeah. Sure. Hypothetical Help, of course, among many other podcasts, and a very popular appearance last time you were on the show. We're glad to have you back.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back and talk about the tech news today.
That's exactly right, because that's the name of the show. Finally, you remember it. U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit Court today ruled on a longstanding case involving selling software on eBay. And this is not going to be good for those of you who hate the EULA. The case was Werner versus Autodesk. Timothy Werner had picked up an old copy of Autodesk at, I don't know if it was a garage sale. It was a garage sale-like thing. He bought it used and tried to sell it on eBay. Autodesk tried to stop it. Werner said, hey, I got the right of first sale here. I can sell a copy that I own. Autodesk said, no, you're violating the license. The license says you can't sell it. Werner said, I didn't agree to that license. I never bought it from you. So they took it to court, and the Ninth Circuit Court said, nope, Autodesk has it right. The license says it can't be transferred, and since it can't be transferred, Werner can't actually own it, and therefore the right of first sale doesn't apply because Autodesk still owns that software.
Although he did say, well, no one else is using this license, and it's something that I guess Autodesk could look up and say, oh, yeah, that's true. But they're still uncomfortable with the idea of it being transferred to somebody else and then somebody else making a small profit off of it.
Right. And the American Library Association filed an amicus brief in this case because they're saying, wait a minute now. If companies can do this, they can slap a EULA on anything and say, we own it and you're just licensing it. This could be bad news for libraries because more and more software is at libraries. But it also means that anybody could just slap a license on anything they sell and say, well, you're not actually buying this from me. You're just licensing it.
You know, Amazon, where I buy a lot of my digital music, has one of these license situations in place where I'm actually just a licensee. I am not an owner of the music that I've purchased from them.
Right.
So one day when I say, I hate these 3,000 songs in my library, these DRM-free songs, Tom, you want them for $10, I would be violating the law, their law.
In fact,
the whole thing gets really complicated because a lot of this stuff is going to start changing hands.
Depending on how you read the Amazon license, it says you can't do anything with the files,
yeah,
which would include playing them.
Right. Yeah.
So I think it's detrimental to the idea of buying them.
If I was like in your house and you were playing the music, would you have to listen through headphones? If I heard them, is that violating the
maybe
the
not because
well?
We're in the private home of the person who bought the music.
But if we're out on the street.
But I probably couldn't have the, or in Terpster's house.
Yeah.
You can't turn
Well, no, just because we don't like that sort of music around here. So
well, of course.
We would appreciate it.
You just wouldn't
but
like
I like
my
to
music.
Enjoy most of my music on my ghetto blaster out on the street on the hood.
Well, I was thinking when you're walking through the West End with your big jam box on your
well, exactly,
on
just carrying it around.
That's
just
a public
chilling
performance.
Chilling out some tunes, you know.
Well, you can't do that anymore.
No. In fact, this could be applied to all kinds of other goods and services. The Electronic Frontier Foundation wrote, if this is right, then not only don't you own the software you buy, but any copyright owner can simply recite the magic words and effectively outlaw libraries, used bookstores, DVD rentals, among many other things.
Yeah, so used bookstores, used music stores, used clothing stores. There are a lot of used stores.
Used furniture.
Used furniture.
You only have a license to use that furniture.
A lot of these places are not just sort of, oh, they're eBay sellers and resellers and types of things. These are actually places that you go in and everything's kosher and you get a little money. And, you know, in the digital world, is that just going to go away? It can't be.
The judge in this case did say that he was sympathetic to the American Library Association's brief, but he said Congress is free to modify the first sale doctrine and the essential step defense if it deems these or other policy considerations to require a different approach. So he's essentially saying, look, the way the law is written, this is the way it has to be. I agree that there are some dire considerations here, but that's up to Congress to change, not the judge.
Yeah, I mean, this sort of thing, though, has been in computer games for ages. I mean, I'm a big World of Warcraft player. I know a lot of other people are. And, for example, I pay a monthly subscription fee, but I don't own my account. I rent it from Blizzard, the company who make the game. And you're seeing it more and more. With computer games, there's a big pre-owned market for a lot of console titles. And the developers themselves don't like it, because what it means is that while they make money off the first time that game was sold, all subsequent sales just go to GameStop or whoever is selling the pre-owned titles. But what some of them have started trying to do is to try to offer more content when you buy it, to kind of incentivize people to go and buy it directly from as new, so that if you did buy something secondhand, while you get it, you miss out on all the little extras or any little bonus things like that. So maybe there'd be a better way for people to try, you know, Autodesk to turn around and say, okay, yeah, but if you buy it from us new with a new license, you get like a free 3D thing. Yeah.
Right, some plugins or support. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's how the whole open source industry is built on. It's figuring out how to sell other things of value in addition to the software, because the software is freely available. And yet at the same time, we have these laws sort of protecting an older way of doing business. These are going to change as things go along. And bringing up WoW is a good example, or EVE Online, or any of those games where you have invested a lot of time in creating a character and gathering goods and talents. Mm. That character is yours. And yet, legally, it's not. Legally, it belongs to whoever you're renting the game from.
It's ridiculous. It's like, 5 years plus of my life?
Yeah.
Probably real time as well. It's quite sad. And, you know, at any time they could turn around and say, no, that's fine, we'll delete that, or, you know, or, oh, we're closing down, that's it. Yeah, and it's the kind of nature of the beast, really. And because there's no alternative, there's never really been that much of a problem about it. No one really minds. That's just how it is.
All right, let's take a look at another story from Nokia. They have appointed the first ever non-Finnish CEO of the device manufacturing company, best known for handsets. They're the dominant handset maker in the world. Stephen Elop is the new chief executive of Nokia. Or how do you say it in your corner of the world?
Nokia.
Like potato gnocchi?
Yeah, gnocchi.
Yeah. I thought it was gnocchi.
Yeah. Gnocchi. I'm just going to say that Finland phone maker thing place. Mr. Elop is now the CEO, or he will be starting September 21st. And he comes over from Microsoft. He was the head of business software there,
which is where Microsoft makes a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean,
as
you
far
think
as
about,
Microsoft divisions,
he started right at the Vista debacle, the release of Vista. So he presided over that. The release of Windows 7 and the release of Microsoft Office for Windows, and sort of preparing Microsoft Office for Mac. So some significant pieces of software there.
So he's only been at Microsoft for 20 months, and he is the first non-Finnish head of the new Nokia. And it's funny, at a recent press conference, apparently Elop had to field a lot of questions about his knowledge of Finland, and does he understand Nokia's very extreme, being part of the Finnish culture. And you have to figure that since Nokia has taken such a hit in the American market, that this is maybe something that, I mean, Nokia probably has to start thinking about the American market in a new way rather than...
Well, he could bring in some perspective. He's Canadian, but the North American market is something that he can shed some light on. He's leaving his current job, like you said, after only 20 months. Prior to working at Microsoft, he was at Juniper Networks, Adobe Systems, and Macromedia. He's the guy that kind of stewarded Macromedia into being purchased by Adobe. Now, I don't think that you could jump to the conclusion that he's going to steward Nokia into being bought by someone, but he does know a little bit about acquisitions. Is maybe Nokia going to position themselves to acquire someone?
Right, because hiring someone like this that seems to have more of that business background rather than the innovative Steve Jobs kind of visionary background doesn't make it sound a whole lot like Nokia. I mean, Nokia has such competition anyway in that market, you know, from Android and iPhone, and they would really have to come out of the gates with something amazing design-wise, innovation-wise, in order to compete. Although, if you make a great... I mean, what if... I don't know, he's coming from Microsoft. Just thinking out loud here.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to that cool Nokia concept watch thing that was green and did everything and stretched round and was a phone and it cleaned itself and solar charged? You know, that whole concept thing. Is that just a kind of a sci-fi pipe dream?
Well, that's one.
Are they going to make this?
It's an interesting thing about Nokia. They've got great R&D. They've got incredible prototypes and concept phones, but they don't seem to be able to bring them successfully to the market. They've done okay with their tablets, but the Nokia N series phones were well ahead of every other smartphone. Mm. And you see these stories about him, and like Nokia has been left behind as others have pioneered the smartphone space. Nokia pioneered the smartphone space. They were the first to come out with really, truly smartphones, but they just didn't get people to use them. And especially here in North America, where they didn't get contracts with the carriers. But even worldwide, those phones have not been as popular as they should be. A lot of people think that they need to tweak the user interface. Nokia was known for great user interfaces at one time, and they're not anymore. So whatever happens, he is going to preside over a change. That is obvious, that they hired someone so different. Rather than promoting from within, they want somebody to shake stuff up. So things are going to change at Nokia. And they've got Android to deal with. Android's becoming the second biggest mobile operating system in the world, according to the Gartner Group. By the end of this year, they think Android will have 17.7% of the market share, edging out BlackBerry and taking second place behind Symbian.
And Symbian, I mean, if you look out over the next few years as far as projected growth, I mean, both the iOS and Android in 5 years, if things go the way that they're going, will be well ahead. I don't know. It's all kind of related, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Nokia's got some time, right? I mean,
they've got some time. This is not like in 6 months they're out of there.
This Gartner story says that they are going to continue to be the number one without changing anything.
Right.
So they've got some room to maneuver because they have such a dominant position. But they need to capture space in the growing smartphone market, which right now they're bolstered up by just feature phones, by simpler handsets.
Android being the biggest mobile OS, eventually perhaps, isn't a huge surprise because there's like 4 billion phones that run Android now. I mean, doesn't that just make sense? How would iOS ever stay on top with just one phone?
I don't know. Does Apple care?
I don't think Apple sees Android as enough of the same kind of animal. I'm sure they care, but they're not in direct competition. They're doing it totally different ways.
They don't. Yeah, Apple has never been worried about dominating the marketplace, as witnessed by OS X, witnessed by Macs. They consider them a success.
Don't they consider themselves the world's biggest mobile media creator, kind of, you know, aren't they the biggest platform when you include iPods in the equation?
Well, for apps, yeah, sure.
But like in terms of the hardware sales, though, as well, do they not consider themselves the biggest in that way? I remember Steve Jobs just going on and he phrased it in such a way and he showed all these other big names and then basically said, "We're number one." And I was like, "Sweet, stock prices are going up." But otherwise,
do you own stock, Terpster?
I might own a little bit. I read a story once that said if you had bought stock instead of the laptop, you'd be like a millionaire now, like when they first came out. And I bought the laptop. So I thought, well, hang on. I'm a thinking man now. I'll buy the stock this time. And it's not been half as enjoyable as a laptop, in fairness. I wouldn't recommend it to many people.
The stock has less functionality.
It is. And it's more portable, but you can do less on it. So, yeah. Anyway, like I said, I don't think Apple really would care about this. They're not in competition, as you're saying. I think what's more interesting is just what Android could become, like as a growing, as it kind of, you know, I don't want to say Skynet, but I'm thinking Skynet, really. If it keeps on this growth, how long before, you know, Android takes over?
They may have already taken over, and we just don't know
already.
Yeah. But that's the interesting thing right now, is that there is no Microsoft versus Apple in the phone race. Everyone tries to make it Apple versus Google as a sort of analog to that, but BlackBerry is very into this, and Symbian is dominant still. And yeah, maybe you could call Symbian the Unix of its time, perhaps. But this is much more complicated, and you brought up the very good point that this isn't just about phones. This is about mobile devices, iPads and music players and forget music players. iPod Touch is a tablet, and Nokia is very good with the tablets. If they could get one of those to really catch fire, they could easily be the competition to Apple in that space. So it's Gartner Group is all they're saying is like, wow, people are picking up Android phones right and left. That's what everyone needs to watch out for. Apple, not so much. That's not their game. They're not going to put their operating system on a bunch of different handsets. But Nokia is, and BlackBerry or RIM is going to put it on a bunch of different BlackBerries. Even though Nokia and RIM make their own handsets, they're going to put out many dozens of models, not just one. Apple's not. Apple's going to continue to do that. We do the one thing very well. That's the way they work. Let's take a moment to thank our sponsor, Slingbox. Slingbox lets you watch your home TV anywhere you go on most any portable devices. Those portable devices we were just talking about. iPhone, iPod Touch, BlackBerry, your laptop, your MacBook, anything with an internet connection, often over 3G even, you can get your home television. And what does that mean? Well, you don't have to pay for it. You just hook up a Slingbox to your home television and the internet. And then anywhere that you have the internet and you have your Slingbox software installed, you can watch your home television. Anything on your DVR, anything that comes over your cable box or over the air, whatever it is you have, sports, news, movies, you don't have to pay anything extra for it. Check out Slingbox at a Best Buy near you or visit slingbox.com/twit.
Thanks, Slingbox.
It's good. You could almost use it in relation to this next story, I feel, like some form of security device. Like, I would know if I was away from home the second my, you know, TV got nicked.
Yeah,
because
the
it would
signal would
working.
Go away,
yeah.
Right. Or the robbers might change the channel on you.
Exactly. I'd be like, whoa, at least let me finish watching my show before you take it.
Obviously, we're talking about some burglaries. Here's what happened. You remember PleaseRobMe.com?
Yeah, they were trying to expose the idea that letting the world know your geolocation was not smart because they could come to your house when you were far away and take all your money.
Well, apparently something like that happened with Facebook Places in New Hampshire. A burglary ring has been busted. They targeted people, or at least they claim to have targeted people, who checked into Places on Facebook. That let them know when no one was home, and then they broke in to 50 homes and stole $100,000 worth of goods.
Now, what we don't know at this point is, were these actually Facebook friends of theirs? Is this a phishing scheme? Yeah, I mean, how did they obtain the information to know that these people were far enough away from home or were going to be gone long enough for the robberies to be successful?
Right, because Facebook Places, you can make it public for everyone to know. And maybe there was just enough people in Nashua, New Hampshire who were doing that they didn't have
maybe
to
be. Maybe it's a
friends.
Gossipy town.
But maybe it's like, you know, they've got a wide ring of friends. And they were like, ha, 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 we're going to sneak into Barry's place tonight.
It's a very good, it's something to think about if you're one of those people who adds everybody who wants to be your friend on Facebook. You might want to think about Facebook Places privacy settings. You know, right now, I allow you to check me in somewhere.
Yeah.
But what if I didn't want someone to know that I was home? I would have to turn off you. I let all my friends check me in everywhere.
Or if you were operating a sting.
Right.
And you said, Tom, check me in at the Twit Cottage, but I'll be here at home so I can catch the Nashua robbers.
Well, and then there's the argument that you always hear about where people go, listen, if you're not home and someone really wanted to rob you, they could sit outside and wait till your garage door closed and you drive away. But that requires quite a bit of surveillance effort on their part.
Patience.
If you're like, hey, everybody, going to Europe, leaving now, at SFO, later, and then you check in Tokyo, 17 hours later, I mean, you're really not home.
Well, how do they know that you haven't left somebody to watch your house?
Exactly, yeah. It doesn't say my house is empty, by the way. Well, that, or maybe that is. Maybe the status update is, you know, go and check out my stuff.
Maybe our location check-ins have to be smarter. You know how in the olden days, we would always say on an answering machine, I can't come to the phone right now, rather than saying I'm not home.
I'm so not home right now.
So we have to check in and, hey, left the boyfriend and the Rottweiler at home, going to get some grub with the girls, and then leave a light on and you're good.
Left the pack of pit bulls off leash.
Personnel mines. Yeah.
Lots of people are having a party at my house.
Do you know people leave the lights on? Do you ever get like those timers that put your lights on? And so the burglars think, I'm going to rob. Oh, wait, no, they just switched the lights on. They must be ghosts and at home. Do you reckon you could get something like that for Facebook that just checks you in at home mid-while through your holiday?
Oh, easily, yeah. Somebody could write a script for that, no problem.
Yeah,
yeah. You know what you could do? I can time blog entries on Squarespace. Then I can port my Squarespace blog entries into my Facebook page. So people, you know, at like 11 p.m. every night would be like, I'm home. This is so cool. Yeah. It's so fun to be at home with my knives.
Yeah. And my loaded
guns. Just sorting through my firearms. I've got so many.
The Zucker bandits better stay away from me tonight because I'm so home. Actually, I got to give Caroline McCarthy at CNET credit for coining the name Zucker bandits. That's pretty awesome. This story just smells to me like taking something out of proportion. In other words, it was like some news reporter said, wait, you used Facebook Places? This is a huge story. And we still don't know all the details of what actually happened. Maybe they just said, yeah, we saw on Facebook Places that, you know, our friend was going out of town, so we robbed her. But we knew otherwise. We knew she was really going out of town, but that's how we found out the first place.
Right.
And don't rob your friends.
I want to find first.
I mean, unless they're just really forgetful.
Yeah, I want to hear about the first kind of person rumbled for having an affair due to Facebook space.
Oh, that's been happening. Yeah.
I don't care about the rest of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People checking in.
Checking in at
mistress's apartment.
Yeah, exactly. That's me. I'm like, oh, and that's gone out to all your friends. Cha-ching. But, you know, with the rest of it, I'm not too bothered, really. You know, people getting robbed, it happens all the time anyway, you know. I want the more seedy sexual side of Facebook Places. That's what I want to hear about.
Lives ruined.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're going to hype a story, that's what you need.
Yeah. I want tears.
All right. Well, there may be tears or there may be joy. Tears of joy over WordPress.com adding some more social networking features if you're a WordPress.com user.
Yeah. So if you're already using WordPress, a new subscription feature is going to let users subscribe to other WordPress.com hosted blogs. So friends of yours, if you and I are both using WordPress, then we can subscribe to each other and then be able to monitor each other's new posts in a subscription tab, which is very similar for anybody who uses Tumblr. It's very similar to the Tumblr dashboard type of thing. So if I subscribe to you and Eric and Terpster, then I can just go into my little subscription tab and see what everybody's doing without actually having to physically go to all of your WordPress blogs. So it's certainly a concept that WordPress is a little late to the party on, because everybody seems to be adding in all of these be able to connect with your community within our services.
Well, and WordPress.com has got a perfect platform for that, because it's not folks that are installing WordPress on their own sites. It's a bunch of people who've signed up for the service.
Right.
And so they've got a community built in that they're just saying, hey, you know what? Let's take advantage of this. Let's provide some ways that people can use if they want to interact with each other.
Yeah, the community, the common domain is already there. The only thing that's kind of weird about it to me, or at least interesting to see how it'll develop, is blogs are still that kind of old dinosaur where people still expect longer form content. It's not like the 140 character tweets, or even on Tumblr, there's still an emphasis on reblogging or putting up a picture, and things are constricted a little bit more. So the old blog where there's a rambling, here's how my life is going. I mean, that's why I don't update my blog very often, because I always feel compelled to like give people the big spiel. I don't know how much that'll catch on as far as community goes, or maybe it will.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. It's interesting, by the way, that TechCrunch and GigaOm actually do their sites on WordPress.com.
Right.
It's not just your average everyday schmo,
not just mommy
right?
bloggers.
Yeah, it's some big sites too that are going to be able to take advantage of this. So that might juice it up a little.
Yeah.
eBay is claiming victory over Craigslist in a lawsuit. Craigslist and eBay have been at odds since Craigslist accused eBay of stealing information by being a partner and a part owner in Craigslist and then starting their own classified system.
And so Craigslist diluted their shares. I guess eBay owned, what, like 28% of the Craigslist
28.4.
28.4 and did a little share diluting to bring it down to about 24%, saying, right. Hey, listen, you got in here, you know trade secrets, and then you just went and made a competing product on eBay.com. You can't do that.
And so eBay took them to court and won. The judge has reinstated their 28.4% stake in Craigslist. Craigslist has countersued, accusing eBay of using its minority stake to steal corporate trade secrets, and that lawsuit is yet to be resolved. So eBay has only partially won. They haven't finally won.
They were also looking for a seat front. On the board, which they have not been granted.
That's
at this
true.
Point.
Yeah, they didn't get that seat on the board either.
One of the kind of weird little details of this whole thing is, I guess last year when they were in court, when Craigslist countersued or eBay countersued for the first time, it came out in court that Craig Newmark had never actually visited eBay's site to see what their classified section was all about.
Yeah, he had minions to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, I got people for that.
If they
say it violates, I believe.
Are they violating? Okay, I believe you. Let's go to court.
Yeah.
See
it.
Let's
court
do
house.
It.
The lawyers will look at it. I don't need to.
No. I'm sure it's in violation.
All right, let's finish
it up. It sounds vaguely similar to what we've done. So, yeah, I think that's a good enough cause to go to court. It's
yeah.
good.
Yeah. That's the way you'd run your business, right?
I would. Well, I just put a buy it now sticker on everything, really. It works for eBay. Yeah.
Maybe Craigslist should have just put a buy it now sticker on themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, and you don't get 28.4%. You either buy us or you don't.
Yeah, exactly. Job done.
Let's finish up with some high dynamic range photography, HDR images. Not the kind of high dynamic range ones that are really just tone mapped that you see on the iPhone 4. These are real HDR images taken at multiple exposure levels by Soviet Montage Productions. They used what was the equipment that they used, Terpster?
It was two Canon 5D Mark II cameras, which are pretty badass, I believe is the technical term for
them.
Yeah,
they're like the best prosumer camera.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they are very, very nice. They're not 1Ds, let's not overreact here, but they are nice cameras.
So here's what I'm confused about is, okay, so we're looking at two cameras, two Mark IIs, that were what, like right next to each other? I mean, did we have to use any photo stitching?
Yeah, apparently
wouldn't they have slightly different angles?
Yeah, so the way they did it is they overexposed one and they underexposed the other,
right.
Then they composited them together to make the HDR
okay.
image. But the way they actually kept the photos the same.
The aspect.
Yeah, the angles the same was using a beam splitter.
How do you do that?
Well, it's like a prism. And it just sends the signal, the light that's coming at the beam splitter splits off to the two cameras, but it's the same picture. So it doesn't have any
It's very important
angularity.
That when you're doing this sort of photography, though, is that you never cross the beams. Otherwise, it just, you know,
then
bad stuff happens.
You split apart. Can you pick up a beam splitter at like Best Buy or, I mean, what? How do you get a beam splitter?
They're not that sophisticated, actually. Yeah, I don't know if you could pick one up at a Best Buy, but a science lab.
Uh-huh.
They use them a lot for quantum experimentation.
I just look
Can
at that
I do
video
this with
and
my
it's
eyes.
Like, that is amazing looking. Look at that. Look at those images themselves.
Yeah, they're doing something tricky because, look, his face, for instance, half of him is not even in both lenses.
Well,
and
they're just showing this is what it would look like. They weren't showing the full image of both of those in the demonstration that we're looking
oh,
at.
Oh, that's right. No, yeah.
It's very, you can't see it so much with the scenery stuff, but when you see the people, it's got that like Sin City and color thing. I mean, it's really cool.
Some people in the chat room are like, it looks fake.
It looks fake.
Like CG.
I think it does. Yeah, it just looks cool.
Especially, it's
an interesting effect.
He looks like he's from the afterlife a little bit.
He may be.
We don't know if he is.
Yeah.
Ghostly glow.
Anyway, so this has caused quite a buzz on the internet today. A lot of folks are talking about it, and we thought we'd pass it along because it's a really nifty way of making some real HDR, in case you wanted to take a look at it. So good job, Soviet Montage Production, and great name.
Yes.
Ah. On to the news fuse.
Yep.
Intel has announced that Paul Otellini will demo his company's next-gen CPU GPU chip codenamed Sandy Bridge next week at IDF, that's the Intel Developers Forum, while AMD has immediately replied with plans to put its own Zacate, is that how you say it? Zacate, Zacate, I haven't heard it pronounced out loud yet. Z-A-C-A-T-E.
Zacate, maybe, like the beer.
They've put Zacate.
Sounds Italian.
Up on display at the same time as Intel is demoing Sandy Bridge. Same time, same city in San Francisco. Both chips combine the CPU and the GPU on one slice of silicon.
Cool. It sounds like a fight night thing. It's like, you know, at the same time in the same city, Intel versus AMD.
Zacatel, you know, I would totally tune versus in. Sandy Bridge.
Zacatel.
Sandy Bridge. That sounds like a horse at the Kentucky Derby.
I think it sounds like a porn star, but maybe
here
that's
comes
just
Sandy Bridge.
Mindset.
Run around. Yeah. All right. By a narrow margin, web surfers spend more minutes visiting Facebook than using Google, YouTube, and Gmail combined during August, according to new research.
So that's just time spent. Facebook, you know, a year ago it was Yahoo that was the leader, and they are third now.
But using Google, YouTube, and Gmail combined?
Yeah. Well, in other words, people spent more time on Facebook than all the Google properties.
Yeah, combined.
Yeah.
By a narrow margin, I understand, but that's still, I don't know. That's a crazy study.
Facebook should make their own mobile phone operating system. American, they might as well just do it.
I don't think
all.
We hang out on Facebook as much as some people do.
I certainly don't.
Yeah.
Americans who use electronic media to engage with art are three times more likely to go to a gallery, theater, or concert than those who never go online, a survey suggests. So take that, all of you who think we're just sitting in our basements and never leave the house. We watch art.
But I don't get this. So people who are interested in media are more likely to consume media, but in lots of different ways.
Right.
That doesn't seem
right
news to me.
What about people who go online but don't consume art?
Yeah.
Are they more likely to go and see art?
No.
If you go online and just look at Google homepage, maybe that's art.
Americans who use electronic media to engage with art are three times more likely to go than those who
never. It's probably because of things like the Google, you know, when they do the different Google image.
It makes you more likely to like
art. Oh, it's Picasso Day. Sweet. I wonder who Picasso is. I'll go out and see.
There you go. See? Exactly.
Apple's free case offer for iPhone 4 owners is going to come to an end. This month, in fact, on September 30th, and Apple says they won't continue it. No, you've had enough time. In a post on the Apple website, Apple explains that the iPhone antenna and attenuation problem is even smaller than they originally thought. Antenna gate, not as big a deal as the media would have you think. So if you buy an iPhone after September 30th, you can still get a free bumper, but you'll need to call AppleCare. And it'll be a big hassle and you just won't do it.
Yeah. Not a huge surprise, but Adobe announced on Friday that it would resume development on Flash for iPhone, the packager that recompiles Flash as native iOS code as part of Flash Professional CS5. So no Flash for the browser on iPhone, but the ability to write in Flash and then recompile it as an iOS device, that's back.
Grand Theft Auto 3, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, and Grand Theft Auto San Andreas are on their way to the Mac later this year, according to Rockstar Games. Information was part of a post on the game maker's Facebook page. Another person who spends a lot of time on Facebook, I guess.
And those who actually engage with Grand Theft Auto online are more likely to engage with Grand Theft Auto in real life.
And at modern museums of art. With Picasso.
It is an art. Boutique book publisher and geek James Bridle has printed the 12,000 edits made to the controversial Wikipedia entry for the Iraq War between December 2004 and November 2009. He's printed it up as a 7,000-page, 12-volume set of books. We're not sure if you can order the set, but you could make your own because it's Wikipedia.
So all of those edits are, anybody can go back and look at them.
Yeah, they're all preserved in the history.
Holy cow.
Are there any kind of really stupid edits in there? That's what I'd be interested in seeing.
No, they're all, there was nothing inaccurate at all. Just a lot of editing.
I would like to see just completely like, I didn't know Chuck Norris defeated all the Iraqis and named it Chuck Norris Land.
Yeah, that was deleted the next day.
I've got good news for anybody who's got a mobile carrier they think might be gouging them. A Google Voice app is apparently headed back to the iPhone. So this, of course, is just for iPhone users. Apple has told a third-party developer that his GV Mobile app will be approved when resubmitted. GV Mobile connects an iPhone user to Google Voice for cheap calls and text messaging and sold well for the months it was listed in the iTunes store. But when an official application for Google got rejected by Apple, GV Mobile was thrown out too. It's been available on Cydia for jailbroken iPhones ever since.
So this is the new guidelines, the new kinder, gentler app store.
If GV Mobile can do it, what about just straight up Google Voice?
Yeah, you'd think so, right?
One would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, and finally, robots are capable of deceiving humans. They are liars.
Why?
Yes.
How?
Well, this is coming out of Georgia, or as the Register puts it, Georgia America. We have been concerned from the very beginning with the ethical implications related to the creation of robots capable of deception, says Ronald Arkin, interactive computing professor at the Georgia Institute of Technology. We understand, though, that there are beneficial and deleterious aspects. Essentially, they made a robot that would knock down some markers on a trail so that another robot could try to follow it. But it was capable of going and knocking down markers and then backtracking and going another way so that the robot wouldn't be able to track it.
So the robot who was in hot pursuit was getting confused. In fact, I think it was like 70% of the time the robot trying to make a getaway did, because it fooled the other robot.
They've developed algorithms that allow a robot to determine whether it should deceive a human or other intelligent machine, and design techniques that help the robot select the best deceptive strategy to reduce its chance of being discovered. So really all they've shown in experimentation is that a robot can deceive another robot.
But both robots were created with human minds, so they're deceiving themselves in a weird inception way.
And we're not entirely certain that Professor Ronald Arkin is not a Cylon.
No.
I'm slightly worried, but I got really excited when I saw this story, the picture on it. The guy at the back looks like, ta-da, check out this sweet human-looking robot. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. And it turns out he's just another dude. And there's two little robots on the floor.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, he's totally just showing it. He's like, yeah, check out this cool robot. You would think he's a human, but this robot is deceiving you.
Those are actually people.
Oh. But then it turns out someone's knocked over.
The robots are just hiding behind, you know, boxes from each other.
Exactly. That's how they deceive them. Oh, don't tell them I'm in the box.
What does this mean for all of our Roombas? Because when I come home, I don't want to think the floor has been cleaned if it hasn't.
Well, but if it tricks you well enough.
Exactly. You look under the rug. Come on, Roomba.
Ignorance is bliss, isn't it?
Under the rug. Oh, terrible.
All right, let's move on to the calendar. We just have a couple things to tell you about this week today.
Yeah, on the calendar, T-Mobile G2 retails for $199 at Best Buy starting on October 6th. So if you're interested, start saving your pennies. And this Sunday, September 12th, Nintendo is to drop the price on the DSi and the DSi XL by $20. So that'll make them $149 and $169, respectively.
Yeah, so there you go. Get your wallets out. Don't buy a Nintendo on Saturday.
Don't
do it.
That's
the wrong day.
Bad day for that.
All right, we got a voicemail here. Our caller heard us talking about how 4G was better when we were near a window than it was when we were inside the hotel, and he explains why.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to make a comment on the question that there was on the 4G network and how it works. The reason that it does work better in near windows than in the outside is because of the wavelength of 4G. It gets stopped really quickly by buildings. So the closer you are to a window to the outside, the faster it works. And I do have it in my 4G Evo, and I've tested it in Atlanta close to 6 megabits, so it's really good when you're outside. Bye, and love the show.
And that's one thing I'd forgotten about WiMAX. It does not penetrate the buildings as well, apparently. Too short of a wavelength, I suppose.
You know, my 3G problems usually go away when I either go outside or go next to a window, so this is behavior I'm familiar with already.
I'm upset, though. I don't want to feel inadequate that my wavelength is too short. I don't want to be like, hey, how long's your wave? Oh, my one's too short. It can't penetrate anything. You know, that just, you know, I don't want to be conscious about my mobile phone signal.
Right. So, but you know, sadly, Terpster, unlike other areas of life, the frequency and the length of your wave does make a difference.
Really?
It's not just the length.
When talking about mobile
it's
phones.
I was told it's what you did with the signal that makes it. No?
Not
it
with
is
mobiles.
All about the length.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it's all about the protocol.
There are so many factors.
The power of the transmitter.
That go into.
Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of different factors.
Can I buy any form of like additional supplement that will lengthen my wavelength?
You could get a femtocell.
Yeah?
Yeah. That
what
might
would
help.
That do?
It would give you better coverage.
All right, okay, cool. Cool.
I realize I may not be playing into the metaphor you're after here.
Kind of. It went a little askew, but it still works.
It still works.
All right.
We're children and laughing.
On to the emails to tnt@twit.tv. Bill, or Widget 1, if you're looking for him in the chat room, says, yesterday and the day before, you had comments on the practicality of a voice-activated remote control. I had one for many years, but I had to give it up because I couldn't program the new digital remote control codes for the TVs. When it worked, it allowed me to program macros so I could turn on the home theater, VCR, TV, and switch to channel 3 just by saying, play movie. I never had a false channel change or any other action on the remote due to TV or FM audio.
Well, it sounds like Bill got screwed over by the digital age.
Yeah, what's up with that? They should have been using similar codes. Ought to be a way to hack that, I bet.
I don't know. I don't know if I even want to say play movie.
I saw Judge Dredd last night. I was watching it just because I do that occasionally. And they've got a sweet computer and it's called Central. And every time they want something done, they say Central and then they say something. And if I had this, I would have to program it so everything was Central, play movie. You know, and it would take longer, but I would feel more in that character and I would be more like the law as such.
It would feel more superior to just pressing the on
exactly.
Button.
You know, the button just wouldn't have the same impact anymore. I wouldn't feel like I'm controlling everything versus Central, play movie. And I'd be like,
plus,
sweet.
If you lose, you can't lose the remote if you're doing it by voice.
Who loses remotes really anymore? I mean, my Comcast remote
hands,
is like 12
Type yes
pounds.
In the chat room if you've lost your remote at some point.
Oh, okay. Like in the course of a life, maybe. But how about in the last 2 years? Who's losing remotes?
Yeah. I mean, that's a fair point.
Last
I'm slightly
week,
annoyed that my iPhone doesn't do it properly yet. I mean, I know you can do like Wi-Fi remotes and stuff like that, but is there a voice remote that I can then do over Wi-Fi? Can I change my tracks on my iPhone?
You could set up a Skype phone next to your television and then just, you know, call it.
What's that one super special universal remote? I'm forgetting who makes it.
Logitech Harmony?
Yeah.
I got the Harmony.
Does Harmony have voice activation involved?
Not
it does pretty much everything else.
Yeah.
Well, there's your next cool
There you
remote.
Go, Logitech.
Yeah, get on it. Start doing something. All right, next email from Matthew who says, just a thought, could iTunes 10 be a placeholder or a transitional release? When iLife 11 and iWork 11 are released for 2011, as many expect, will we see a radically redesigned iTunes 11? Perhaps the strange UI choices are introducing a new look that is coming. Going even further, could we see Mac OS XI instead of 10.7 would be XI is 11.
Yeah.
That would create a nice piece of symmetry with all the version 11 software in 2011.
And then the next iPhone would be the iPhone 11.
Oh, I like it. It's returned to one, and they've just put two iPhone 1s together, and it's like got double the resolution of the original iPhone. And it's like, how did they do it? Well, they just
what does it
two
mean?
Together.
This is the classic what will Apple do conspiracy theory.
But what I love about it, though, is that I totally believe Apple would release a brand new operating system just so that all of their software says 1.1 for the year 1.1. That kind of I don't doubt that for a second that Apple wouldn't think that would look really nice.
I'm sort of with you because when I started reading Matthew's email when we first got it in the inbox, I was like, okay, another crazy conspiracy theory. But by the end, when I was like, oh, but then they get that nice symmetry of 11s everywhere. You're right. I could totally see them doing that.
So what do we think?
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's not outside the realm.
This isn't like the rantings of a madman here.
I'll give it a 34% chance of happening.
Repeating, of course.
Well, actually, 33.333333333.
Infinity plus one.
Three,
we're done.
Three. Thanks, everybody, three, for watching our episode of TNT. Thanks to Terpster for being on the show.
Terpster!
Let folks know where they can find you on the internet.
What's that?
Where can they find you on the internet?
They can just on the internet. If you Google my name, it comes up instantly now. It's amazing. Or you can go to terpsvision.tv or hypotheticalhelp.com or twitter.com/the_T.
And you can find us on the internet at twit.tv/TNT. If you would like to email us, please do. Write us a little note. Send it to TNT@twit.tv. Or you can also give us a call. We have a phone number. It's a free local call in Butler, Indiana, 260-TNT-SHOW. We'll see you on Monday.
Three.
Three.